야무너티러원나짜리 띠러원나짜리 야무너티러원나짜리 라타마더바 군자비하리 짤려라타마더바 군자비하리 짤려라타마더바 발로바 그리바다 다리 야이야 꼬프 잔나 발로바 그리바다 다리 야소다 난간다 어버지 잔나란제나 야토다 난도 너도 잔나란 지나 야무나 테러버나 짜리 야무나 테러버나 짜리 야이야라 다마더바 군자비 하리 더바 군자비하 짤려라 더마더바 군자비하리 더바 군자비하 짤려 꼬끼짱어 발라바 그리바라다리 꼬끼짱어 그리바라다 짤려 꼬끼짱어 발라바 그리바라다리 야소라 난난나 하버지 장나란지나 야소라 난난나 하버지 장나란지나 야무나 테러버나 짜리 야무나 테러버나 짜리 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivijakacharya Astutur Sat Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamkund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhana ki jai, Vrindavan Dhamma ki jai, Mathura Dhamma ki jai, Mayapur Navadip Dhamma ki jai, Ganga Maye ki jai, Jamuna Maye ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Harinama Sankirtan Ki Jai, Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Beta Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Beta Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who's very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauritvijay Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other incarnation of God, because he is bestowing what no one else has ever given. And what is that? Pure love of Krishna. He's giving it out to everyone, everywhere. Not just to the Brahmins or to the Kshatriyas. He gives it to the Vaishyas. He gives it to the Shudras. He gives it to the untouchables. He gives it to everyone because he is the most merciful incarnation of God. He does not discriminate. He wants everyone and anyone to chant Hare Krishna, experience pure love of God through the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and go back home. Back to Godhead. Some of you young persons here, at this point in your life, I don't know if you realize how fortunate you are. I did not have the opportunity that you're having to learn these teachings, but obviously you must have done something very good in your past lives. So Krishna has blessed you to be able to hear these teachings and to be raised in a Krishna-conscious family and to have the glorious, wonderful service of serving Lord Jagannath in this festival. So every morning when you get up, first thing you should say is, thank you, Krishna, for giving me such a wonderful opportunity. This is your grace. I know that you could have given me a different birth. You could have given me whatever you wanted. You could have made me into a complete materialist. But I've been born, I've been raised amongst devotees. So my course is so blessed, is so glorious, that I cannot thank you enough. Will you do that? Come on, I want a few nods. You got to tell me you're going to do that. You didn't get it. It's a gift. When your mother gives you a birthday gift or your father gives you a birthday gift, you thank them, don't you? Okay, so you should thank Krishna because he's given you the greatest gift. The first, your mother and father, who are devotees, and the second gift is that he's giving you an opportunity to serve him and to learn about him through the Gurukul system. So I want you to remember this. Never take it for granted. There are so many children today who do not have the great fortune that you all have. It's hard for you to know this because you haven't been around enough. But when you see how degraded most children are raised compared to the way you're being raised, you just shake your head and wonder, wow, what a blessing Krishna has given me. This is so important. And if you're grateful, Krishna will continue to bless you all, without a doubt. So today's talk is about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. More specifically, why did Krishna come down to the material world in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is very deep and it is very enchanting, very enlivening to say the least. It all starts prior to Lord Chaitanya appearing in this world. What was the condition of the environment or the culture, the cities in Navadvip, in Mayapur, in that whole area? The condition was not very good. People had become highly materialistic. What do I mean by materialistic? It means they were just thinking of their own personal sense gratification. Their tongue, their eyes, their ears, their nose, their skin, making parties all the time, drinking, glorifying their bodies, glorifying their names, glorifying their families, everything except Krishna. Did they go to the temple? Yes, they did go to the temple, but they went as a mechanical exercise. You go there just to look very religious, very righteous. Everybody sees, oh yes, he's religious. Fine, that's all I need to do. Just go to the temple, look religious, not be religious, but look religious, and that's all. Now let's go back to partying. That was the mentality of that time. Party, party, party. Weddings, ceremonies, hair-cutting ceremonies. Everything except Krishna was being emphasized. When Advaita Acharya, who was living at that time, he saw this pathetic situation that although it was in their blood, so to speak, to glorify, to worship, to honor, to bow down to revere, to serve Krishna, they had completely neglected it, completely disregarded it, completely ignored it, completely. It was as if Krishna was merely a statue on an altar whom you said hello to, goodbye to, and left the temple. There was no desire to connect one's own heart in love with Krishna. There was no desire to serve Krishna, to honor Krishna, to thank Krishna. There was no desire for any of this. And so Advaita Acharya, who is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, saw this. And his heart was literally bleeding. He was bleeding, feeling the misery that all these people were either experiencing. Yet they were enjoying, they were having fun, they were in their different forms of sense gratification. But as we know, as it is said in the verse, an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. And this type of happiness is temporary. It has a beginning and it has an end. And it does not bring delight to the wise. Why doesn't it bring delight? Because it's temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. It's like you eat some ice cream, you take it, and then it's gone. And then what? Then you have to try something else and something else. So Advaita Acharya, who's as I said, Mahavishnu incarnation, filled with transcendental bliss. He wanted everyone to experience the bliss that he was experiencing. Real happiness, ongoing happiness, non-stop happiness. No sorrow, no misery, no depression, no anxiety, no uncertainty, no doubts. Constant, ongoing, never-ending inner happiness. A liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness because he focuses, he concentrates his mind on the Supreme Lord. By focusing and concentrating your mind on the Supreme Lord, you absorb from the Lord his inner peace, his inner strength, his inner love, his inner knowledge, his inner bliss. This is why we concentrate, we focus upon the Supreme Lord. Not, of course, that we should have all these things, but when you have bliss, when you have strength, when you have satisfaction, when you have happiness, you are very eager, gladdened, inspired to want to serve the Lord more and more, better and better. This is the nature of divine bliss. So why should we not have this? And by focusing upon the Supreme Lord, that will happen. So Advaita Acharya, being among the most compassionate of persons on the planet, along with Haridas Thakur, decided or considered, how can we get all these people who are so miserable because they're having their pleasure, but all material pleasures are followed by what? Sorrow, misery, doubts. You may cover them up with drinking. You may cover them up with different kinds of drugs. But eventually, when you come down, you're again faced with the unfortunate circumstance that you're not at all happy. You're miserable. And you're trying to fake it. You're trying to hide it from yourself and from everybody else. You got a big teethy smile. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Oh, I feel great. I used to work in the motion picture business, and I was still a devotee. I had to raise funds in order to be able to produce all of these narrations that I did, because I wasn't funded by the temple or by the BBT. So I worked in the motion picture industry as a movie extra, and I would see when the people would greet each other, at heart, they were miserable. They were in such anxiety. When am I getting my next gig? When am I getting my next job? Will I get a speaking part? Will it be a long speaking part? Or will I be without work for the next 2 months, 3 months? There was always anxiety and uncertainty. And when you would catch them in an unguarded moment, their faces would be like this. But when you would meet them, you would say, hi, how you doing? Oh, great, great, I'm feeling great. They weren't feeling great, they were feeling miserable. But who wants to admit that? If you admit it, then you admit in effect that everybody knows he's supposed to be happy. But to say the real thing is to admit that you're a failure, that your life is a bummer. It's good for nothing. Who wants to admit that? Nobody does. It's not our nature. Our nature in the material world is to show ourselves in our best possible moment. So the important thing is that those persons at that time were the same way, acting happily but really being miserable. And Advaita Acharya decided, I've got to save these people, but I personally alone can't do it. If Krishna himself could come down to this world and manifest that very special potency that he has to turn people on to Krishna consciousness, to get them chanting his name, what a blessing, what a benediction, what a grace that would be. I can only do so much, but Krishna, who is the all-powerful, he could transform all of them. So what did he do? He began to take tulsi leaves and Ganges water and offer it to the Supreme Lord every day. Haridas Thakur was also with him. And he would call out, he would cry out in a prayer, my dear Lord, please, please come and rescue, save these poor, fallen, wretched sinners. They're just wasting away in this material world. We need your help. You're the only one who could do it. So his prayers, they went to the Supreme Lord. Yes, they went to Krishna. But Krishna had planned to come anyway, because it was coming near the time, what we call for the Yuga Dharma Avatar, or the Yuga Avatar, to come onto this world. There are different kinds of avatars. There are Yuga avatars, which we call avatars for a particular period. We know there are four periods. Okay, the first period is Satyayuga, And what is the second period? Come on. What are you learning? Second period starts with a T. I didn't hear you. You can shout it out. Nobody will criticize you. Treta Yuga, yes. Third period is Dwapara Yuga. And what's the fourth period? Kali Yuga. And when does that happen? Now, yes. It's not going to happen. It is happening right now, unfortunately, but it is. And we are approximately how many years into Kali Yuga? 5,000 years plus. That's correct. And it's really going fast and strong. Kali Yuga is the age of misery. However, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become freed from the bondage of material life and what? Promoted to the spiritual kingdom. So the demigods, they are lining up to come down here because there are so many problems and pressures and trials and tribulations here that this is a perfect place. When you're miserable, what do? Krishna, help, help, help. You look up, you cry out. And when you cry out to Krishna with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, he hears. If you simply say, Krishna, Krishna, save me. Krishna, he's not going to come. You don't mean it. You're not feeling the pinch. If I take a knife and I start to push it into your gut, Krishna, save me. He's going to come. He's going to hear. A little baby has a safety pin. And what is it? It's sticking. The pin opened up and starts to scream. What does the mother do? Continue the cooking? No, she comes running into the... What's wrong? Looks at him, tries to see if he needs food, doesn't need food, opens, looks at the diaper, sees it's an open pin. Oh, I'm so sorry. Puts the pin, ties a knot, and so forth. Baby is okay. Stops crying. Similarly, when we cry to Krishna, when we beg, when we loudly look up and say, Krishna, please help me. Life is so full of miseries. My wife, she left me. My children, they curse me. These are things that are going on. And my daughter, she's going to these rave parties and taking drugs. I brought her up to be a good girl, and look at her, she's just acting like a prostitute. My life, everything is becoming miserable, and just to boot, I just lost my job. I don't have a job. I've only got about 26 weeks worth of unemployment insurance coming. What am I going to do after that? How am I going to provide for my family? How are they going to eat? They'll all hate me. They'll ostracize me. They'll banish me. They'll tell me, get the heck out of here. You're not a father. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Krishna, save me. So when we begin to cry out due to helplessness, and if not hopelessness, there's no solution. You go here, you go there, you ask this one, you ask that one. I need a loan, I need this, I need a job. Everybody's saying no, 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 no. Even Srila Prabhupada, he had a business and his business went down. And he was left with the full realization that it's time to move on. It's time to take vanaprastha. It's time ultimately to serve my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, totally, completely, fully. So that's why the demigods are lining up to come down. This is a place of misery. Misery can be used positively to depend upon Krishna. So don't curse your miseries. Look at them positively. Look at them as a means by which you can get out of all of this. Miseries are the spur, are the incentive that will push you or prick you to call out to Krishna and become a true heartfelt devotee. The more you do this, what happens? You intensify your relationship with Krishna. You don't have really we all have a relationship with Krishna. There's no question about that. But that relationship does not fructify until and unless we begin to call out to Him, to pray to Him, to look up to Him, to beg Him. One who is not connected with the Supreme Lord in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So where does this peace come from? It comes from associating with the Supreme Lord through His holy name, His holy form, His holy entourage, His holy pastimes, His holy paraphernalia, His holy dham. All of these are absolute, and when focused upon, when concentrated upon, eke or bring to us connection, association, which is what is needed with Krishna. Without association, where is the relationship? The relationship is there, but we are not conscious of it. I may have a relationship, let's say, with you and you. Maybe you're my cousins, maybe you're my distant cousins. But until we begin communicating, we don't have a relationship. Your name may be the same as my name, but what's the value? So we're related by blood, but we don't know each other until we begin to communicate. Until we begin to have interaction. And so that's what all of this temple is about. Communicating with Krishna, receiving the grace and blessings from Krishna, and then when you have that grace and blessings, to share it with others. You share it with other devotees. That happiness you have, you don't contain it, you don't keep it, you don't store it and hog it. But you share it, you give it out to other devotees, give it out to the non-devotees in the form of a book. There was a devotee here just yesterday. Usually I'm all out of my books, but when I usually give a talk, I usually carry a few books, and I ask who's here for the first time, and there was a devotee here, and he was first time, so I gave a book. So why do we do that? To share Krishna, to share Prabhupada. So it's a good habit to get into. The first night I didn't have a book, but one of the Prabhus did have one, so we gave one to that particular individual. Sharing. So after all of this, I should mention that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Krishna, had planned to come down here because he was the Yuga avatar in the yellow form. There are four colors that he comes in, and we learn this from Garga Muni, who, when he was giving the name, or at the name-giving ceremony for Krishna, he mentioned that this boy, this dark boy, comes in four different periods. And he has appeared in a white color, a red color, a black color, which is then, and it will be a yellow color or a golden color. So the white color, that Yuga avatar was Hamsa. The red color, I can't remember the name. The color for Dwapara Yuga was, of course, Krishna. And for this Yuga period, it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was getting time for the Lord to appear as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to initiate, to establish the Yuga Dharma. Does everybody know what the Yuga Dharma is? Dharma means duty, and Yuga means for that particular period. For example, the period in Satya Yuga, the Yuga Dharma was what? Yes, meditation. And in the Treta Yuga, the Dharma was what? Yes, fire sacrifices, different kinds. For different purposes, but all spiritual, of course, to purify the sacrificer. And in the third, in the Dwapara Yuga, what was the Yuga Dharma then? Yes, deity worship. I'm glad you remembered your notes. Very good. And in this Kali Yuga, what is the Dharma for now, this period, for this? Pardon? The chanting of the Maha Mantra, yes. So the Satyuga lasted 1,740,000 years, and the Treta Yuga lasted 1,230,000 years. Dwapara Yuga lasted 864,000 years, and this will Yuga cycle will last 432,000 years, of which there will be 10,000 years, which will be like a mini Satya Yuga. After that, all hell breaks loose. And I pity anyone who has to stay around for that period of time. If you have any doubts, read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vyasadev will tell you all about. If you think we have miseries in this time, where do you see that time? But because the Lord is so merciful, He's so kind, He's so glorious, that He wants to spare everyone and bring everyone back home, back to Godhead. And He has provided the means, which is the chanting of the Maha Mantra with one's whole heart and soul. So preceding the Lord would come those who would be His associates, like Srivas Thakur would be one of His associates. His father, Jagannath Mishra, His mother, Sachidev, as we said, Advaita Charya, Ishvarapuri, His spiritual master. Ishvarapuri, as I said, His spiritual master. Madhavendra Puri, who would establish very clearly the value of love of God in separation. So many persons would come and assist Him. Some would be His incarnations, such as I said, Lord Nityananda, who is Baladev, Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu, and then we'd have Gadadhar Pandit, who is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani, and Srivas Thakur. All these would precede Lord and would be His assistants, would help Him to establish, to get in motion the Sankirtan movement. They would be, in previous yugas, we know that Krishna fought with bows and arrows, or mystic powers, to kill the demons, to kill the evil, the criminals. But in this age, He doesn't kill them, but He kills their demoniac mentality. Killing their lust, their anger, their greed, their envy, their illusion, their laziness, their indifference, their gluttony, their desire for sense pleasure, their maya. He kills that. And we saw that in the wonderful pastimes of Jagai and Madai. How many of you know that pastime, Jagai and Madai? Oh, you all are familiar. Well, then you know, here we had two criminals, unrepentant, unregenerate criminals, who felt no compunction, no remorse, no guilt, killing people, raping women, punching people, getting drunk. Horrible people, and yet they were transformed by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if they could be transformed, there's hope for all of us. Yes, because they were really bad, and they could be transformed, and they were changed. So the Lord sent His associates, who are often referred to as His weapons. Weapons to kill the demoniac mentality. Finally, the time came for Lord Chaitanya to appear in this world. And that is exactly what happened. It was on a full moon night. And and so at that point in time, He did come, and then He slowly but truly, He had this golden form, and in this golden form, He manifested various childhood pastimes, or the baby pastimes, childhood pastimes, And then he began to grow up and became a youth. And all he wanted to do at the beginning was to be a scholar. He wasn't ready to manifest his full glory. And scholar did he become. He was absolutely amazing. Even at 11 years old, he was able to defeat anyone and everyone. Nobody could challenge him. Whatever argument somebody presented, you know, to a particular thesis, the Lord could defeat this. And then if somebody took a different position, he would take it, and he could defeat anyone and everyone. That's why they called him Nimai Pandit. He wasn't known as Lord Chaitanya at that time. He even defeated one of the biggest pundits of that time. The Digvijaya, Keshava Kashmiri, yes. So he defeated him in such an insulting way without deliberately being insulting. When I say without deliberately being insulting, what happened is that the Digvijaya, he uttered a whole 100 verses. And then Lord Chaitanya gave his opinion. And he said, I think you are an amazing, wonderful, incredible poet. But still, the poetry that you have uttered still has some faults in it as well as some virtues. So the Digvijaya says, faults? I have no faults. And besides, you're just a boy. Who are you to tell me what's wrong with my poetry? He says, well, you know, I don't mean any... I don't mean to be, you know, insulting. I don't mean to be upsetting or disturbing. But I have heard from other authorities that there are certain rules and regulations in poetry, and I happen to remember them, and I noticed that your poetry in certain areas did not conform to those regulations. Regulations which have to do with alliteration, with rhyme, with different aspects of poetry. So Lord Chaitanya pointed out all the flaws, and the Digvijaya was absolutely amazed. In fact, he was amazed that the Lord, after he, the Digvijaya, had repeated, like the wind, 100 verses, the Lord could pick out a single verse and give it verbatim, word for word. He even asked him, how could you do this? So the Lord said in a very humble way, some of us have different talents. Some can remember things and not forget them. Some can utter beautiful poetry. Some have beautiful voices. We all have our talents, which are God-given. Anyway, that Digvijaya, that night, he had a dream. And in that dream, his worshipable deity, the goddess of learning, Sarasvati, she told him, you were defeated because you are puffed up. You are very proud. And I made sure that he would defeat you, that you would have certain faults in your poetry, so that you would know who this person is, that he is the Supreme Lord. And you should pay your obeisances to him and thank him that he has put you in a proper position, given you the proper realization. This is how the goddess of learning helped the Digvijaya. So he did just this, and he became a true devotee. Instead of just uttering verses, defeating people, now he became a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So this is the effect of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even while he was 11 years old. But then when he went to East Bengal, and then he became initiated by Ishvarapuri. And then he returned home. He also had gotten married, and his wife died while he was away, Lakshmi Devi. When he came back from his initiation from Ishvarapuri, and he returned to East Bengal, to Mayapur, Navadweep area, he suddenly came out. It was as if we're all familiar with caterpillars and butterflies. It was as if he had been a caterpillar up until that time, in the cocoon, so to speak. And when he came back, he began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, not just timidly, not just lightly, but Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. He began chanting wildly, loudly, intensely, incredibly. And people thought maybe he had gone mad. What's happening to Nimai Pandit? He was a very sober, very controlled, very staid scholar. Where is that scholar? He's walking around like a madman. So they said, what's wrong with him? So he said, in order to keep things cool, he said, well, occasionally I get epileptic fits. It's a disease. He says, when I get these fits, I can't control it. And I just start chanting. Of course, this was gradually, it would be known that this was not at all the fact. The point had been reached in his life, which is what I'm going to go into now. As I said, the first thing of the Yuga Dharma, or the Yuga Avatar, is to broadcast the holy name of the Lord, establish it, broadcast it, and make certain that as many persons as possible will be chanting it. And this he did in Navadvipa. At first he would be in the home of Srivas Thakur. And they would chant, not for a few hours, but they would chant all night. And these were all pure devotees of the Lord. They were in ecstasy, jumping, dancing, clapping, screaming at the top of their lungs, and people outside said, what's going on there? Is that a mental hospital? Are they going crazy in there? I mean, all you would hear was, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, jumping, thumping, clapping. They were mad with ecstasy. Even Jagaya Madai, they went there, and they were wondering, what's going on in there? Is this some kind of a circus performance? Or they couldn't figure it out. Anyway, finally, the Jagai and Madai pastime took place not too long after that. And from that time on, Lord Chaitanya and his men, they would go out into the city, you know, of in Mayapur, throughout Navadvip, and they would chant the holy name of the Lord. And although initially there was some opposition, the Brahmins, or the caste Brahmins, or we call the Smarta Brahmins, they didn't like this. They thought that Nimai Pandit, or he wasn't Lord Chaitanya yet, wasn't being called that. That name came to him, I believe, after he was took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya. Is anybody want to corroborate that? Yes, okay. Madhavendra Puri gives a nod. I know it should be right. Thank you. So yes, he became Lord Chaitanya after he took sannyas. Up until that time, they were still calling him Nimai. So they thought maybe Nimai, you know, maybe he's going crazy. And the Brahmins, they thought he was ruining the Hare Krishna mantra. Ruining it because he was making it public. And they thought if you make it public and everybody chants it, well, then it loses its potency because you get the Shudras chanting, you get the Vaishyas chanting, you get the untouchables chanting. If all those touch it, it's like stool touching the mantra, that's their mentality, therefore the mantra becomes polluted. What insanity! No, rather the stool becomes purified. And that's exactly what the position was. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, they complained to the Muslim ruler, Hussein Shah, and also the Muslims, they complained. And they were going to stop the Sankirtan movement. The Qazi broke one of the drums of the devotees. They were going to stop it all. Then what happened was this. Amazingly, when the Muslim soldiers were going to stop the kirtans, what happened is that their beards went on fire. Miraculously. Can you imagine? Here you're going to stop the Sankirtan and your beard goes on fire. Just think about it. They got scared. They ran away. They ran to the nearest pool that they can dunk their beards in so that they could put out the fire.
Another thing happened is that when they got close to the devotees and they heard the Hare Krishna mantra, they are listening. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. They were repeating, and then they started Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Couldn't stop chanting it. Lord Chaitanya had turned on that potency so that when anyone would hear the devotees chant it and they would repeat it, like almost like a robot, you turn the switch and it goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So they told the Qazi, we can't stop chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. There's something about it. So the Qazi realized that this Nimai Pandit, there's more to him than meets the eye. He considered him like a nephew in the family, in the village relationship. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya went to him, and it was like the first social revolution, so to speak. And he went to him, he talked to him, made him into a devotee, and made him promise that the Sankirtan movement would never be stopped as long as he or his descendants became powerful or in office, and then Sankirtan would spread all over. Now, there's a lot of pastimes, and we don't have enough time to get into them all. So I've just given you the first reason, Lord Chaitanya, which is an external reason, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world to set in motion the Yuga Dharma, which is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, getting as many people as possible to chant it with all their heart and with all their soul. And this would purify the heart. Because when you chant it, it's not just another sound. It creates an effect on the heart. And the effect that it has is that it creates within the heart a feeling of love for Krishna. You want to be with Krishna. You want to know about Krishna. You want to glorify Krishna. You want to applaud Krishna. You want to sing to Krishna. You want to dance to Krishna. That's what the Hare Krishna mantra does. It's non-different from Krishna. And Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, has invested all the potency of love of God in the name of Krishna. What could be better than that? So when you chant Krishna, 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 you get Krishna manifesting through the heart. If you have a mango and you chant mango, 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 you don't get the pleasure of tasting a mango, do you? You don't. He agrees with me. Good. Yeah. So if you say mango, you say banana, you're not going to get the taste of a banana. But if you say Krishna, 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 hey, if you say that over and over, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare, you will get the taste of Krishna. So that brings me to the second reason, the internal reason as to why Lord Chaitanya, why Krishna manifested in this world. Let's go backtrack a little bit. Let's backtrack 5,000 years ago when Krishna was in Vrindavan, personally, physically. And he had what was called a Ras Leela with the gopis of Vrindavan. They were called his girlfriends. Now his girlfriends, he was the apple of their eye. Maybe a better word would be the mango of their eye, because that's sweeter than an apple. So yes, he was the mango of their eye, and when they saw him, they were spellbound, they were stunned, and the different ecstatic symptoms manifested. Hairs would go up on their arms or on their neck. Tears would flow down their cheeks. Or they would just stand there spellbound, stunned, unable to talk, to move, to do anything. Cursing the tears coming down because they couldn't see Krishna clearly. They saw him in like a prism. It's like a window with, when you see the rain coming down the windows, you don't see clearly out. So when the tears were coming down their eyes, they weren't able to see Krishna. So Radharani would say, oh, darn these tears. And she would wipe them away. Darn these tears. I can't see Krishna clearly now. So, they felt were hindrances to their love. Darn these eyelashes. Lord Brahma, what kind of a creator are you? You give me these eyelashes. Every time I blink, I don't see Krishna for one half a second. How dare you? You can't create. You're just a fool. This was their mentality. One half a second of not seeing Krishna was like an age to them. It was enormous. It was infinite. So much love did they have for Krishna. This is ideal for us. It's our goal. It's what we should be aspiring for. When you have that, let me say about the gopis, very important. Although when Krishna called them on that autumn night by playing his flute, all the gopis from their different homes, they left their babies, they left the dinner table, they left their parents, and they just went out. And their parents and their uncles and their brothers said, "No, no, no, don't go out. It's not proper for a young lady to go out and see Krishna. It's already getting dark." They couldn't care less. They didn't care what their parents said. They were willing to risk the ostracism, banishment from the home if necessary. They didn't care if they were even chastised by their parents. If they were kicked out of their home, because Krishna was their all in all, Krishna meant so much to them that it was worth it to get kicked out of their home. Think about it. Suppose you get kicked out of your house. Where are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? Who's going to be your husband? All these questions. They didn't care. They pushed them all out because as far as they were concerned, the only husband they wanted was Krishna. Interesting thing happened. They ran out to meet with Krishna and to listen to him playing the flute. And their parents and their brothers and so forth were very angry. But Krishna played a trick on the parents. So that the gopis would not be chastised, they would not be banished, they would not be scolded. What he did is he produced, by his illusory energy, another set of gopis. It's in the purport, by the way. I'm not making this up. It's also in my book. He produced another set of gopis who went back to the home, and the parents thought that the gopis returned, there's nothing to worry about. So that when the actual gopis would come back, there would be no chastisement. And I'll explain that a little more. Anyway, so they danced with Krishna. They had a loving association with Krishna. Now, the thing about this is that the gopis, especially Radharani, loved Krishna so intensely that although he was the recipient, the receiver of their love, and he could enjoy that love, the love that they were feeling and the ecstasy they were feeling from that love, according to Krishna, was 10 million times greater than his love for them. 10 million times greater. And he was wondering, you know, what does their love feel like? What does it taste like? He couldn't know because he was the recipient, the object of their love. And they were the abode of that love, where it stemmed from, where it came from. So he wanted to know, what did their love taste like? He wanted to know, how did it feel? And so what happened, the result was this, the next thing was that he also noticed when he would look in the mirror, he would be very beautiful. And he wanted to know what his sweetness tasted like when the gopis looked at him. He was a very beautiful person. But because when he looked at himself, he could only gain a certain amount of pleasure because he was not in love with himself the way the gopis were in love with him. So he wanted to know, what did his sweetness taste like? For example, if you have a honey bottle and I let you lick the honey bottle, will you know what the sweetness of the honey tastes like? No. All you'll taste is the glass or the plastic. You can't know what honey tastes like unless you put your tongue into the bottle. So in order for Krishna to know what his sweetness tasted like, he would have to become like Srimati Radharani to know how she beheld him, how she looked at his sweet face, and what she derived from his sweetness, to taste that sweetness. And thirdly, there was a third thing. Does anybody know what the third item is? Okay, the third item is that Srimati Radharani and all the gopis, but especially Srimati Radharani, would become so ecstatic, so blissful, so overwhelmed, so overtaken with the ecstasy of love of Krishna. And Krishna would see this, and he himself felt so obliged, not only to Srimati Radharani, but to all the gopis, so obliged to them that he told them that night. He said, although I have said that as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly, I can never reward you. I can't reward you with anything. I can't give you gold. That would be too cheap. I can't give you flowers. That would be too cheap. Whatever I would give you would be far short of what you deserve. Therefore, he said, please be satisfied with your own devotional service. And what did that mean? It means that they should be satisfied with the service that they were doing, which was the greatest service in the world, which is to love God completely, exclusively, one-pointedly, totally surrendered, totally sacrificial of their lives. So, he said, I cannot repay you. All I can do is give you myself when you are performing devotional service. And what would that self be? Pure bliss, pure ecstasy, overwhelming ecstasy, happiness of the highest degree, Mahabhav, Krishna Prem on the highest level. So this is what he gave. He didn't give any food, or he didn't give any gold or jewels, but he gave them himself. And if Krishna gives himself to us, nothing in this world will ever disturb us, shake us, ruffle us, upset us, because when you are in the transcendental position, you are in the pure peace, pure joy, pure knowledge, pure strength position. And although you see it and you deal with it, it doesn't disturb you. It doesn't upset you, because you are linked indissolubly to Krishna's lotus feet. A person who's in the eternal world, the spiritual world, who's a nitya siddha, can never fall down to this material world. You know why? And when we return to the spiritual world, we will be in the nitya siddha consciousness. Krishna says, as the embodied soul may be... Anyway, Krishna says... I'm trying to remember that verse. I got three verses running through my head simultaneously. It's not easy. I'm trying to get one of them out. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death takes place. But those who reach my eternal abode never take birth again in this material world. Why not? We're in the nitya siddha consciousness. Nitya means eternal. Siddha means perfect. Now, what does that translate into? Why cannot they fall? Their love is so intense, so great, so overwhelming. For example, a person who can fall, let's take the analogy of cement. If you have wet cement, Okay? Everybody knows what cement is? Yeah? Okay. So you put cement down on the ground, for example. When it's wet, you can move it with your hand or with a spatula. You can move it. It's wet. But as it begins to dry, it becomes less and less movable. And when it becomes fully dry, you can't move it. You move with your hand, it doesn't move. And as it becomes drier and drier and drier, it can't be moved at all. The only way you can move it, of course, is if you explode it, use a pneumatic hammer on it. The love of the gopis is like the hardened cement. Their hearts are completely cemented to the Supreme Lord's heart. So they can never be withdrawn. Nothing can pull them away from the heart of God. And when their heart is totally, completely cemented in that manner, what happens is that they just want to love Krishna, serve Krishna, honor Krishna, be with Krishna. There is no physical, sexual activity in this, by the way. Although Krishna puts his arms around the gopis' shoulders, he kisses the gopis. All the ecstasy is taking place in this part of the body, the heart, not in the lower part of the body. There's no need for that when you have the explosion of this ecstasy in the heart and one is experiencing, as I said, perspiration, one is experiencing chills, one is experiencing the color becomes white, or one is experiencing the voice begins to choke up. Even during the Ratha Yatra festival, when Lord Chaitanya was dancing at the festival, he couldn't even say Lord Jagannath. Does anybody remember what he said? Yeah, that's right. He said, he was trying to say, he was choked up with the emotion of ecstasy, so he was, and he's drooling, and tears are squirting out of his eyes, and people are all around him getting it, just rubbing it into their bodies, some are drinking it, and the sweat is pouring off Lord Chaitanya, even blood was coming out of his body. They were just grabbing it up and drinking it and smearing it, just completely absorbing themselves with the Supreme Lord's excrescences, the emissions. They were so blessed to get that, and everyone knew that. King Prataparuja was there. He was so amazed. I'm not going to go into the pastimes, but the second thing was that Lord Krishna wanted to know the three things. What does his love feel like from the point of view of the gopis? What does his sweetness tastes like, and what does his bliss feel like? In order for him to know that, he would have to be the abode of that bliss rather than the object. So originally Radha and Krishna were one in Krishna. Then Krishna, to enjoy loving pastimes, expanded himself into two: Krishna and his pleasure potency, which is known as Ladini, was Radha. And all the expansions of Radha, for example, we have the goddesses of fortune. We have also the gopis of Vrindavan, or her expansions. And the queens of Dwarka. They all the expansions of Radharani, the highest of which was the gopis of Vrindavan. So it was Krishna's yearning, compulsive yearning, obsessive yearning, to know what those three things tasted like. The other things, for the Yuga Avatar to establish the Dharma, he could have his material energy could do this if he wanted. He could have his demigods establish the chanting of the holy name. But since it was time for him to come, he established it. To set things right, he has so many avatars that he does that help him to do that. So he appeared, and he appeared in a yellowish golden color, the same color that Srimati Radharani appeared with. The upsurge of her mood, the upsurge of her sentiment, the upsurge of her love manifested in this golden color. And And he was so beautiful, so handsome. People looked at him. They didn't want to take their eyes off him. So gorgeous was he. And so in that form, golden form, he set in motion the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. One last point I'd like to make. When he went down to South India on the way, he just had one assistant with him. I think it was Kala Krishna, if I'm not mistaken. So he had one assistant with him. And when he traveled along the pathways and he would see groups of people, he would start chanting, Hare Krishna. Excuse me. He would chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then he would chant, chant, chant. And then they would chant. The most amazing thing happened. They couldn't stop chanting. He set in motion a potency which he had not even set in motion when he was in Bengal. It was the ecstasy was so great when they chanted the holy name. This was the potency. The ecstasy that these persons who along the road would chant was so great that they couldn't stop chanting it. And when they told it to somebody else, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, that person couldn't stop chanting it. Then he told it to his wife, told it to his kids, told it to his uncles, told it to his friends. Nobody could stop chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It was in perpetual motion. Amazing. That's how he spread the chanting of the holy name down in South India, Mid India, North India. It got spread all over on this one particular potency. So shouldn't we all be praying to gain that potency so that when we go out and chant on the streets, people begin to chant with us and can't stop chanting and come here, look at the deities, join the Hare Krishna mantra, jump up and down, clap their hands and say, wow, Krishna is so great, so wonderful. We should be praying for that potency. I pray for it. I don't get it, of course, but I pray for it. If you love people and you have compassion for them and you want them to have the bliss of God consciousness, then how can you resist? How can you refuse to pray for them in this form? That's how this movement will spread. Through the giving of the distribution of literature, we should also be praying that when they read this literature, they feel that same transcendental bliss. Some don't. That's because of us. We should take the blame. Pray to Krishna. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him. So when you pray to him, please, every book that I give out, help that person become a devotee. Give him understanding. Give him depth. Enable him to please become a devotee. Otherwise, yes, the book is good. Touching it, looking at it, even opening it is good. But I want more than good. I want total conversion. I want transformation. I want their miserable life to be changed into something fulfilling, ecstatic, glorifying. I want their life to be truly and genuinely happy. Srila Prabhupada gave us this. We have an obligation to perpetuate it, to enable everyone in this world, which was what Lord Chaitanya came here, to bring this holy name, to spread it everywhere, to give happiness to everywhere, so that everyone and everywhere will go back home, back to Godhead, and thereby achieve the true goal, the true fulfillment, the true happiness of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chit. Thank you so very much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Sri Nityananda Prabhu Ki Jai. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki Jai. You can go and eat your breakfast now. Hare Krishna.